Bethel World Outreach Church. Reaching a city to touch the world.
Glory, I want to praise Him all day long, but next time we have a worship night at Bethel, you need to be here because God shows up. He did some miraculous things. Colossians 3, verse 22 through 25, and then we'll spend time in Acts 1. For time, I'm giving you these scriptures to look at. I might paraphrase quite a number of them, but we're going to get into it. We're starting a series today called 48 Days to the Work You Love. But before you can get to what you love, you have to get to what His work is for you. That each and every one of us was uniquely and specifically designed for a certain role or pattern or thing that God wanted us to do. Not everyone is the position they may have desired, but you are a position that God has desired for you. So if you're the pinky toe in the body of Christ, just give glory to God that you're the pinky toe. Now, none of y'all gave glory, so none of y'all consider yourself the pinky, but if you're the heart of the body of Christ, you give glory to God. Yeah, all y'all want to be the heart, you see. But the Bible says that some members should receive more honor simply because of their modesty or their inability to be seen as visibly. So I just want us to understand that God has a specific work for each and every one of us, and this is what this series is about, us finding that work, us doing that work, and us surrendering to that work. Let's read Colossians 3, 22 together, and we'll move on from there. Okay, I want to just read it out loud. Ready? Read. Now, wait, so whatever job you have, whatever role you have, it is not your boss who is determining your future. It is not your boss whom you're working. They might be an overseer, and they might be there to help you along or to evaluate if you are being productive as you should. But who you really work for is God. Yeah. He is Lord, and He is boss. And so why is it that you're on that job? Why is it that you're in that position? Is it to get a paycheck? Is it to make friends and influence people? Is it so you can be in a situation where some upwardly mobile people can acknowledge that you're upwardly mobile and you guys can kind of connect with one another and you can get an idea and it can become a big million-dollar idea? Why are you doing your work? Who created the work? And what is the assignment of the Creator? I want you and I to understand that no matter what work you do, you work for the Lord. The Bible says, I'm going to get this scripture. I'm pulling it right out of the Spirit right now. For ye have been bought with a price, therefore you are not your own. Therefore glorify God with your bodies. So you and I are not the owners of ourselves. So we don't live to do what we want to do when we want to do it for our own pleasure. We actually live exclusively, wholeheartedly for the Lord and Him alone. And anything you get other than that is a benefit. It's a blessing. Now, here's something that I found. I found that there's been so many things going on in the media and in the world that we have become obsessed with other people's lives rather than living the life that God has given us to live for Him. Amen. Everybody just caught up in every, and this is how I know, because Inquirer is still in business, the Inside Edition is still in business, and all of these other, you know, what do you call it, reality shows. Everybody knows everybody. Why do I know who Baby North is? Why do I want to know that? I'm happy for all babies. But it's like, we got to get greater business than that. And we laughing because everybody know who Baby North is. Somebody said, I don't know. That's Kanye baby with, that, and that's how we talk, with Kim And they named the baby North, and their last name was Northwest. But we can't rub two scriptures together and get a hallelujah out of it. I'm sorry, that hurt, didn't it? Just a little bit. It hurt, didn't it? Because, whoo, truth hurt. We're obsessed with other people and their lives, even though it's not taking us any place that's productive. It's not getting us closer to God. Maybe you're obsessed with CNN and the daily news and the rehearsal of choices for candidates for president that you don't like. Maybe this all mixed together making you a doomsdayer. Well, I knew he was going to all burn up at some place. I think it's going to happen in our generation. We're going down quick. Yeah. God's probably going to just, you know, it's going to happen. You know, maybe tomorrow. You know, everything is like catastrophe is around the corner. And I'm not telling you that God doesn't judge stuff and that God won't, bring punishment to things. But do you know that one of our jobs is to stand in the gap and cry out for mercy? And that when we cry out, God said, because we're his sons and daughter, he hears us. And he extends the time and he extends the grace for us to get on the job and do his work. How is it that when we're doing his work on the mission field, like I just came back from China, that we can see more miracles, more healings, more deliverance. People get radically saved and filled with the Spirit. And on the mission field, it's like it happens instantly. But you get to church, and you can work for 2 years to get somebody just to say hallelujah. Oh, they raised the pinky in church. You just be happy. It's because it seems to be when you're focused on a mission trip for his work, you are so intense about the totality of those moments being surrendered to him that it makes something available called power. What is it about when we're in our natural resting position at home that we just can't bust a spiritual grape? Somebody says, somebody got a demon in the back. You say, well, who can we get to get that out? You're not saying, here I come to save the day. But let you be on a mission trip. And they say, that person got a demon. You say, I'm ready. In the name. It's right there. In the name, it's in the hand, and in the name, it's right there. Bam, it's out. Because when you are wholeheartedly a full version of who God made you to be, there is a power that's available that makes life worth living. Life is most satisfying when you are dispensing yourself exclusively for the glory of God. When you are emptying yourself of all your selfish and my selfish ambition. Now, 86% of people, this is staggering, live life purposelessly. That means they are going through the motions of existing, but they cannot put their finger on God's divine purpose for them. And while their individual uniqueness keeps escaping them, so does the broader mission to see the whole world reach for Jesus. We seem to be stuck at our whole house being reached. When hospitality, meaning by definition, friend to the foreigner, means that our natural resting position when we are fully engaged in Jesus' work, in his work, that we are reaching out to people who don't look like us, talk like us, eat like us, wear clothes like us, naturally worship like us, and we somehow are able to distance ourselves from the familiar and to reach out with the love of Jesus to the unfamiliar people groups who have already been sensitized by God's Spirit to say yes to any one of your invitations. Why are we not seeing the work done? It's because, my friends, here in America, it seems to be that we are on a spiritual boycott, a work slowdown. We are picking and choosing what we're going to do for the boss. You know that conversation that happens at the water cooler. They're going to take stuff, benefits away from us. I tell you what, you know what? They're not going to get as many things done today. They're not going to wear me out. I got to make it. See that? See that? Let that spirit go. It's robbing you. Let it go. Because who's watching your work is the Lord. And your boss is unsaved. If you got an unsaved boss, do you know your number one reason for working at that job? If you have an unsaved boss, I want you to really get this point. If you have an unsaved boss, your number one reason for working there is to get them saved. Well, they don't want me talking about the Lord, you know, come to the prayer meeting until God gives you enough wisdom to have them ask you a question that frees your spirit up to just tell them your story. Now, I know what it's like to work to make a living and that be snuffed out or taken away. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I know what it's like to have a period of time when you're unemployed and all of the work you did to be employable, your education, your trainings, your dignified dress, the way you articulate, the way you write, all of these things put together are not equaling out to a job of good wage. So I'd lost my job. First year here in Nashville, had been laid off from Saturn. God bless them anyway. They could have picked another group. They picked mine. I'm not saying anything about the car itself, but I don't see a lot of them on the road now. Did I say that out loud? Did I say that out loud? I mean, I'm not mad. I believe in them. So here I am with my educated self. I, when you put so many resumes in and you know, you try to spice it up and nothing, a zero. One day my mom told me, she said, just keep working, baby. And I got I'm ashamed of this job I'm about to tell you about, but it's the truth and I got to let it out of church. So I got an interview and the people were sitting there and they said, when you don't have a job, you'll go for anything at some point. He said, I'm sorry, sir, you're not going to get it. You're overqualified for the job. Now, mind you, I'm the only one that's dressed up for the job. I said, are you serious? They said, yeah, you. I said, no, I'm going to tell you this. Now I got a little streak. I said, I'm not leaving here without the job. Not you're going to hire some of those people out there that didn't come in a suit? That's when you're real desperate. You didn't have no respect. You just, you know, oh, yeah, I got the job. You're going to pick them. I better hurry up. I ain't going to get through this message. So they said, okay, you got it. And they have marketed it like you're gonna become a marketing specialist. But really, what it was, oh, I'm so embarrassed. Just mind you, as I'm doing my job, I dress in a nice suit and I got a nice satchel and I was selling bootleg cool water and Obsession and sunflowers, perfume. On the street, door to door, and business to business. Oh, God. Oh, and I was, you know, but my mom taught me, do it with dignity. And it's one day I was, you know, doing it, you know, and doing it with all my heart. And one day I sold 21 bottles of bootleg perfume, and I became a rhino, which is a superior level in the company. And I was like, yes, Lord. I mean, yes, Lord. Hallelujah. I mean, the story ought to tell you, I was at a low point trying hard. Have you ever been at that low point and you still giving it your best effort and you getting rocks and gravel and it's still rough and hard and you gave it your best? And every time I would pray to God, he would give me, in my mindset at the time, this religious Christian answer that didn't pay my bills. He would tell me, go minister to people. And For a while, I did a little ministry here and there, and I, you know, just to appease the Lord until he gave me a job. And he would keep telling me, you work for me. And I said, yeah, but you don't pay. And so, proves it ain't that, have this ever happened to you? And so, Jesus is holding out on my paycheck. I'm working everything I can, and I just started serving all around this city, every place I could find. When I wasn't selling my bootleg perfume or at day labor, and you know, it's bad. You would go to day labor with a degree, it's bad. I said, I'm a minister. And the thing about it is, God will leave you in situations until it's from your heart. This is not something where you could just do it and trick him, like, you know, yeah, I get a little ministry, God. Okay, give me some money. You know, no, you can't trick him. This is where he waits until your heart is in it. Because the scripture said, we read, do everything heartily as unto the Lord. You've got to care about this. And when my heart finally broke for what broke his, when I finally loved people and I was able to give and give and give and give and give and give, then I began to prosper. Because his work, his mission, finally became something important to me. When we look in the scripture in just a moment in Acts 1, and you can start getting there, you're gonna have to find out that Jesus is not asking you, James Lowe, Jesus is not asking you, congregation, to do anything he himself has not done. And in fact, he's done it so that we can know we can do it. And Jesus also knows, as he's worked, that he was full of the Spirit when he did his work. That it's going to take you and I being full of his Spirit in order to see life clearly. And the proof that you're doing the work he did, the proof that you're full of his Spirit and you're waiting on him in partnership is how ferociously and boldly you witness. And the witness is not just the people who look like you. That means whenever you get in a situation for whatever reason, you understand God is trying to do some work through me right here. Acts 1. Since that wasn't conspicuous, I just said, you might as well put 10 more minutes on that clock. No, it's the 10 right there. Ready? Y'all getting ready to read. So don't look at me. Ready? Read. Now, Jesus was a worker. The Bible says he humbled himself and became obedient even unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus worked because he said, the Father is working, so I am working. Jesus said, my work or my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. Jesus was focused on his assignment, and his assignment cost him everything. When you say you're doing your work for the Lord, when I say I'm doing my work for the Lord, do I show up and has God got a blank check with me? That means just take your whole net worth take one of your checks, and when you approach God with all you have, is everything, 100% of everything up for grabs because he is Lord. That's good. I didn't wake up, you know, one day and say, you know, I'm going to go to China. No, that's too far. I don't want to go there. I don't know what to expect. But it's something about giving God a blank check that allows him to write something on your heart called a burden for his work. And now someone that doesn't look like you, eat like you, talk like you, you feel a thrust from the spirit to get where they are. I think about those Chinese uncles that I was able to see when I was over there that are leading our underground church movement. And I'm thinking about, man, what do I have to offer men who have led millions? What can I offer? Just a small group. I'm right there with them, and I'm hearing their story of persecution. I'm hearing their story of demise, and I'm hearing them tell us what they need, and we're going back and forth, and I'm just happy to be in the room, and I don't think I have anything to contribute. 2 days just praying with them, singing with them, and to me, having the least to contribute. And then Uncle Z, some of the uncles came up to me, and they were just staring at me, just doing stuff like this. Thinking, man, what's going on? So did nobody say anything? And all of a sudden, Pastor Bruce, this is weird. One of the uncles just reaches down like this, scoops me up and picked me up off the ground and then dropped me. And I, of course, looked at the interpreter. What does that mean? In this culture, I just want to understand. When they pick the black guy up, what does that mean? Is that a good sign or is something bad about And they were saying, no, man, they like you. They were just wanting to figure out. They've been talking for 2 days if they could see if they were strong enough to pick you up. Man, I came all the way to China to figure out if they can pick me up. It's funny how I watched them dispense their life at any cost for anything as their nation is being told to take down every cross everywhere. We already know how all the Bibles over the years had to be smuggled in, and I'm hearing this dialogue go over what should we do because they're taking our crosses down. Should we fight is one of the questions. Should we say enough's enough? Or should we do what we always have done? Lay our lives down and be trampled on, be persecuted, to not bring any occasion for greater abuse to God's gospel. That was their decision. Now, you know, that changed me. Because before somebody was since spoke, I was away. This is why I'm here. Y'all, let's fight. This is international warfare right now. No, they said, let's lay down our life like Christ laid down his. That's his work. What if your work is not to fight when your boss does something wrong to you? Well, they cheated me. I'm going in with an attitude. I'm going in a demand. I'm going in. No. What if God is trying to not allow you to be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good, for in doing so you can heap coals of fire upon your adversary's head? The second thing that happened, we can see that Jesus worked. And Jesus wanted us to work like he worked, but he knew we had to wait until we get the power. Read the next set of scriptures really fast. Oh, you know what? I wasn't even going to touch that part. But, you know, that's like because the scripture says in Luke that once he had talked to them, he had opened up their minds that they might understand the scriptures. And see, sometimes God can give you a lot of revelation. And with the revelation, they're trying to figure out what they can get. Well, because now we understand what you came to do, then our redemption draws now. Our freedom draws now. Our time to prosper, our time to be on top. See, here's what we usually do. We take the work of God and we individualize it and try to figure out how it's turning into a blessing for us instead of the work of the Spirit. But here's what Jesus had in mind. Go verse 8. Eight. Now, when you get this, when you wait on my timing, when you wait and you get full of the Spirit, you'll finally have the boldness to speak. Because I know they just murdered me. I know they just sent a message that I will oppose your leader. I will oppose Jesus Christ. I'll oppose your Christianity. I'll take your life. I know that could be scary. But you know what? I'm going to give you what I have, the power of the Spirit. And I'm going to fill you with the Spirit so that you can understand that no weapon formed against you can prosper. I can remember being with the North Koreans when we were in Seoul, Korea. I wasn't on the north side. Well, I probably wouldn't be back. But some North Koreans that had, for lack of, I can't tell you how that we got them, but we got them. And worshiping with them and talking with them, and the conversation went like this after church, and I got about 15 of them, and all of their stories, they're miraculous, they love the Lord, and which is miraculous when they have been oppressed by this dictator who has 30,000 statues throughout the nation that they must bow to, who even though he was preached to by missionary, his parents were, knows the gospel story, has replaced the gospel story with his name. That's just called wicked and stupid. Freaking, well, I don't get to call it names, but it ain't smart. And I'm talking to the people, and Pastor Ron Lewis asked a question, almost like the scripture says in Acts, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? And they kind of responded like the people in Acts. We have not even heard that there is such a thing called the Holy Ghost. Pastor Ron said, well, Jane, let's pray for him. Stand up. And with little to no teaching, through translation, maybe a minute of teaching, that God wants you to ask for something. When God them circle up. Oh, glory, I want to just pray out right now. And they were circled up. And without hesitation, they went in before we could even get our hands on them real good. They started letting that heavenly language come on out from the inside. And you automatically know when the heavenly language come out. Even though it's a language barrier, there's a certain language that God can give you when he fills you with your spirit. You say, oh, yeah, yeah, I identify with that. And you can feel the charge in the room. And even they begin to testify, what is God doing on the inside of me? I feel him all over me. But you know what? I love their result from getting empowered by the Spirit and filled with the Spirit and feeling the gift of God. It wasn't to sit somewhere in Jerusalem. It wasn't to sit somewhere in the United States and stay comfortable. It was so that they can get an empowerment to go out and be a witness in the very nation that seemed to give them no love and to give them no help. It's so they can go out and be missional with their life. They could do his work. His work. When you wait long enough on an empowerment, his work starts to invade your heart. And when the Spirit finishes with you, you can say, what I got to do, Jesus? What do I have to do, Jesus? Oh, finally. This is his last verse, real fast. Ready, read. You know, I don't want you to miss this. The why they were given Jesus as a worker, why they were given to wait till they got the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, all of these promises for them to be a witness, and yet they're standing there. They've got the instruction. They've got the example. They've got the promise. Jesus has pulled through on everything that he's ever told them, and you know what they're doing? I'm going to just wait till we come back. Well, didn't he just tell you to go into Jerusalem and wait till you? Yeah, but I'm going to wait till you come back because I just want to be in the church and I just want to worship him. I want to worship him. I don't want to go to Jerusalem. I want to worship Jesus. You know, have you ever noticed we can get stuck?
Ooh, that service. Ooh, I can't wait till we get back to a service like that. But you can't ever go on a mission. What is it that causes us to just get stuck standing?
I'm not qualified. I don't have enough money. I don't have enough time. I don't have enough to obey Jesus. That's what the preacher does. I'm waiting for the preacher to win all of my neighbors in my neighborhood. I'm going to walk past them every day, even though Jesus loves them, even though he gave me my house, where it is, to see every one of my neighbors saved. I'm going to work until the engaged team of Bethel comes and wins my neighborhood. Because I'm standing waiting because I don't want to mess anything up. I'm waiting because I need more instruction from God. I'm waiting because, you know, I just feel so good when he comes. No. Y'all better stop waiting and start doing what he said to do. Because the same Jesus that gave you the responsibility of the work, the same Jesus that told you how you was going to get the Spirit to have the power to do the work, that same Jesus that left you with those instructions is the same Jesus that is coming back to inspect whether or not you did his job and to reward you or to judge you. But he wasn't playing when he said it. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Somehow we've got a little hiccup. We've gotten a little stuck, and we somehow have passed that ball off to the spiritual literates and the giants, the Rices, Pastor Rices of the world. Yeah. Well, I'm not letting him do my work for me. I'm not letting one of you stand up with my portion of assignment and say, I made up the difference to Pastor James because he spiritually boycotted the assignment. No. I'm not going to get caught standing and looking and gazing at God's beauty and saying, I was a great worshiper, but I didn't give my life in worship. What is the thing you got to do with a message like this? Give up. What does God require? Everything. I beseech you, therefore, brothers, by the mercy of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy, and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. This ain't even the big deal. And be no longer conformed, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind that you might prove what is that good, perfect, acceptable will of God. You all and I all, we need to give up. And once we give up, we need to pray. Pray about everything. Jesus prayed before he did everything. And after that prayer, we need to go into all the world and preach to the foreigner, the person that don't look like you, act like you, talk like you, eat like you, stand to your feet. Ministry team, come down. The station's never going to change, Bethel. Bethel, house of God, house of prayer. That's what the hands are. But you are every nation church. That means that you're a standard bearer, a flag waver. If you don't have a flag, you're not grabbing a nation, then you hadn't said yes to the work. There's somebody God put in these United States that's a leader in another nation that's waiting on you. Their family member is the key to a breakthrough in the whole nation. 20 years, 10 years, a swing in the world can happen that can change everything. And I know it's hard to believe that you, one person, can be a global world changer, but that's who you are. That's the privilege you sit under. And that is the mission of this church. And then that is not for the few, that is for the many. And yeah, you may not all go to China. but you'll all pray for it, and you'll reach every Asian person you can that's in these United States, every African person, every Latina, every European. Raise your hands. Lord, breathe on your people afresh. Feel the filling of the Lord. Ask God to fill you. Ask God to renew you. Ask God to give you a fresh vision. Touch me, God. Fill me, God. Don't let me go back to the mundane working for my paycheck instead of working for you. I say yes to his work. Yes to his work. Yes to his work. We'll go into all the world. We won't resign our posts. God, bless us all to think like you and act like you. Bless those who are not saved to come down. Bless those that need to get filled with the Spirit to come down. Bless those that are broken and hurting to come down and get prayed for. We thank you as we leave this place and not your presence, that you'll keep us in the center of your will. This is the Alpha VI. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's give God a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As you are dismissed, go win your neighbor. Go win the foreigner. Go make friends. Come back to the house of God with your work. God bless you. You're dismissed.